Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday evening, September the 1st, 2013. Carla B. Todd is the speaker of the evening teaching on healing. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
It says, let your request be made known to God. He said it. It says it. I believe it. I do it. I get it. I mean, come on. I'm glad I'm simple-minded. I'm not simple-minded. I was rebuked by my dear friend Caroline, who made these copies for me. Thank you, Caroline, if you're watching. She sent it for me to make copies. I didn't have it with me. But what was I going to say about that? Yes, she said, you need to quit saying that you are simple-minded because you are not. And I said, okay. She said it. I believed it. I'm careful not to say I'm simple-minded, but I keep it simple. It is simple.
Did he die in the recliner?
Actually, they replaced the recliner for a hospital bed. He did die in a hospital bed. Didn't die in Mama's bed, so yay. Ooh, there's a real interesting story connected to that, but that's not what we're talking about tonight. He had a demon. Hi, Mom. I've never told her that. Okay, well. Okay. Well, okay. Open mouth, insert foot. Wear soft shoes. Okay, so now where are we going? Okay, so I was healed of allergies. And I praise God for that. Okay, about the leper that came and worshipped. It's like a servile cringe or bow, or crouch to bend down or stoop low. That is literally or figuratively prostrate. Prostrate oneself in homage, do reverence, adore, worship. He approached Jesus in a posture of submission. Now the question is, who are you submitting to in your infirmities? Sadly, it's become the tradition of most believers to submit themselves to a doctor instead of the Lord, Jesus Christ, who is our healer. No condemnation, just bringing this to your... We need to change our thinking. You know what? The world is watching us.
Yes.
We are supposed to be a witness to the power of our God. That's what was supposed to make the Jews become believers. And yet, we go to the church with our spiritual needs, we go to the bank for our financial needs, and we go to the doctors for our health needs. How is that any different from the world? I'm sorry. You know what the Word of God says about tradition? It makes the Word of God of no effect. People say, it doesn't work. Why? Why does it not work? Could it be your tradition? We need to change our... We need to repent. Change our thinking. And come back to our God. That's what Hezekiah did. They were all worshiping the stick. He says, forget, I'm breaking the stick. I'm breaking the stick. No more. God is the one. Not the provision, but the provider. So I have a question here. What business do the citizens of the kingdom of God have going to the world instead of to God to get their needs met? Isn't that what Ahaziah did? Isn't that what Asa did? Going to God instead, or going somewhere else other than God, that is the definition of idolatry. What about the man at the pool of Bethesda? He had an infirmity. This is in John chapter 5, if you want to jot it down. He had an infirmity for 38 years. Jesus walks through the crowd, walks over to him and says, wilt thou be made whole? And the man's dilemma or excuse was, yes, but the pool is so far away, and by the time the water's troubled, I can't get anybody to take me down there to get in the pool so I can be healed. Never given much thought to that pool. It's not a God thing. It's not. It was a... Listen, Satan can heal. He can heal. And this pool was his deal. How fair would it be if tonight I said, I have the power to heal one person. First one here gets it. All the rest of y'all are just out of luck. Does that sound like something God would do? You read, he healed them all. He healed them all. He healed them all. He healed them all. That is a demonic thing. It was witchcraft. It was just like these pictures of Mary that start crying and everybody flocks to it and touches it and gets healed. How do you explain that? That is demonic. That is a supernatural. You know, people say, but they're spirit-filled. I say, what spirit?
Exactly.
You know, we need to be careful. Everybody's spirit-filled. Hello? The sad thing about it is, the healer was in his midst. And he was still looking to a pool. Guess what? He's here. The healer is in our midst tonight. The Spirit of God, Jesus. All three of them are right here with us. It says where two or three are gathered. Hey, we've got more than that. There he is in the midst of them. He is our healer. And he's here tonight, and he wants to heal you. Who are you looking to? What are you looking to? What are you doing to get yourself healed? We have lots of stuff out there that offers health, healing. Healing from Jesus is a gift. And here's the definition of a gift. A present. A bestowment. Anything given or bestowed. Given freely. Freely. Voluntarily. You know, he healed a lot of people that were Pharisees and, you know, not believers yet. But as soon as he healed them, they wanted to follow him. Administering healing to somebody can be a great evangelical tool. Evangelistic, not evangelical. Evangelistic. You heal somebody, they want to go to Jesus. They want to follow Jesus. And you look at all of those stories, they didn't glorify anybody. They would glorify God. They glorified God. Every time they were, people know where it comes from. They know it's not you. You're calling on the name of Jesus for their healing. Why would they think it's you? There's nothing... Okay. It's freely, voluntarily, without claim or merit. You can't earn it. Without an equivalent or compensation, such as labor or services. It means conferred. That means applied. That's what we're going to do after a while. We're going to apply the gift of healing, because he wants to heal you. He wants his people healed. Can you receive it? Don't you need it? The property of which is voluntarily transferred by one person to another without compensation, to give or bestow. This word is particularly used to express the grant of favors, benefits, and privileges to be enjoyed, or rights which are to be permanent. See, remember, you have an inheritance. As a child of God, this is your right. It's a covenant that he made with his blood, a promise, a benefit. As to confer on one the privileges of a citizen, we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of life, to confer a title or an honor, a free gift. So you see, there's nothing you can do to make it happen other than to receive it. The problem is not getting Jesus to heal us because he's already done it. The problem is getting us to receive it. It's like salvation. You can't earn salvation. You can't buy it. You just simply, when you find out about it, you receive it. You receive the finished work that he did on our behalf for salvation. You receive it. Nobody else can receive it for you. Nobody can give it to you. This is a personal thing. The woman with the issue of blood, it says she suffered many things of many physicians. Have any of y'all suffered many things of many physicians and spent all you had and grew only worse? Yeah, there's lots of people in that shape. Luke 8:43 says, who spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed by any. You know, Luke was a physician. He followed Jesus around. I love that. A doctor. A physician. I wonder if they wore white coats back then. I wonder what they had for a stethoscope. I wondered, had Luke treated that lady? She'd been to many physicians. I wonder if she ever went to Dr. Luke. And he did everything he could. Couldn't help her. And now here she is at Jesus and receives her healing because she believed if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she could be healed. And she was. That wasn't a name and claim it. She knew he was the healer. And she went to him and received what she needed. And another thing that occurred to me, in all the Gospels that I read, I never saw one time that Jesus came up on a person and said, "Oh, wow, hey, Luke, hey, come here, I need to ask you a question. I need your expertise here. What do you think we ought to do with this guy?" He never did that. Don't you know Luke was absolutely wowed at the healings that Jesus performed. Amazing. Amazing. I just love that. Okay. We're almost done. I asked the Lord one time, when I was helpless. I had a back surgery and I was helpless. I mean, I couldn't do anything. Everybody had to do everything for me, and it was so humiliating because my grandmother, I spent a lot of time with my grandmother. She was a Bible teacher. And we went visiting at the hospital. I'm sorry, Lord, I don't do that. I never liked going to the hospital. When I go into a hospital nowadays, I feel like I've stepped onto a spaceship on another planet. It just seems so unnatural to me for all those people to be sick and being tortured. I mean, anyway. And I asked the Lord because I couldn't do it for myself, but I didn't want anybody else to have to do it for me. I said, "Lord, why is this so hard?" And he said, "Because my people don't know how to receive." And I learned a long time ago at a very early age, I was 23, how to receive. Be a gracious receiver. We've been told so many times, we've been brainwashed to the point that we're locked down. "Oh, no, I have to be the giver. I'm the giver. I do for you. You don't do for me. I do for you." That's a good thing, too. I love to be a giver and a doer. But we also need to learn how to receive. Because it's the only way you get anything from God. Ask God to teach you how to receive, how to believe, how to go to Him to have your needs met. He's the need meter. He is the need meter. So I hope that tonight, this exhortation for you to go to your healer, go to your Lord, the one who said, "I am the Lord that healeth thee, that shed every drop of his blood." Let me tell you what, you go to the doctor, they take your blood. He gave his blood. They're going to take your blood and more than they need. My mother was in the hospital, and they didn't have enough beds, so they put her on the heart unit. And it is a written in blood rule that if you're up there, they have to take blood every 2 hours or some ridiculous thing like that. And she wasn't even in there for her heart. They're coming in there and draw. I finally told them, I said, no more blood. You have taken the last blood from my mother. This is ridiculous. Y'all hadn't found what you're looking for by now. It's not there. I just could not stand them sticking her another time. It wasn't even necessary. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, I don't like it. And I tell my daughter when she takes our grandbaby to the doctor, don't let them give him any immunizations. Kaylee was 5 years old before she ever had those shots, except for the one they did sneaky. I didn't even know they gave him that hepatitis thing. I would have been in there saying, no, no, no. She's right. Again and again, as many times and as loud as you have to. Anyway, so what do? You get an infirmity, a pain, or whatever. You know, I hear people, and it's mockery. They'll say, well, the doctor said this, but I just don't receive that. I'm healed by his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. And I'm like, you sound like a parrot. And you don't believe it. It's perfectly clear you don't believe what you're saying. What is that? Some kind of a incantation that's supposed to heal you? No. No. What did it say a while ago? Applied. Applied. Okay, so this is what I do if I get a pain or an infirmity. Well, now I do it ahead of time. See, prevention, or doing it ahead of time is much better than waiting until it comes. I get into, when I take my shower in the morning, that's whenever I'm touching every part of my body. And so I say, Lord, I just thank you that you hung on the cross and you took every sickness and disease, and I just apply the shed blood to my entire body today, inside and out. And I thank you that I walk in health. Years ago, he said, you know, if you get sick, I can heal you. That's what he said in the very beginning. So I started going to him. Then later he said, guess what? I can keep you. And I said, I'll take it. I want it for me. I want it for Mike. I want it for my children. We quit getting sick. I'm telling you, we didn't even have a doctor because we didn't need one. Now, if we needed one, you know, I'm not saying I would be stupid, like if something terrible, if my child fell and cracked his head open. Well, I tell you what, after the Hurricane Rita, we couldn't even get to our house. So Mike has got the chainsaw and he's cutting all these trees because you couldn't even get to our house. And one day I was in the house, there was no air conditioning, it was brutal. And I hear this thud, thud. And I go to the back door, I don't see anybody. Because he had pulled himself up because he was cutting something and the chainsaw backfired or something, ricocheted. And he gashed his knee. And he was kind of weak, you know. And I said, well, let me see it. Let me see it. He was afraid to look. So we pulled his pants, you know, ripped from the saw. There was blood. And I looked at it and he said, I think we better go to the hospital and get stitches. And I said, well, wait a minute, let me look at it good. I said, I don't think you need stitches. I'm just going to pray over it. And I put my hand on it and I prayed over it. And that thing healed up. Somebody's got a little bit of a scar. Big deal. Just so what?
You remember.
But anyway, I mean, and he's learned, even in those situations, you know, because that's something that, I don't know, that's a lot of blood, and that's a pretty big gash. I didn't see any bone or anything. I think it's going to be all right. Lord, I apply the shed and resurrected blood to this gash, and I speak healing to it. I command that flesh to just close up. I bind infections. You know what? Psalm 91, here's one of the scriptures in Psalm 91, it says something about the noisome pestilence. I looked up those words. You know what that means? Any ill-smelling, infectious, disease, or virus. Does that not cover everything? So there's one. Lord, I thank you that you have provided what I need against ill-smelling, infectious diseases or viruses. I speak death to bacteria. I mean, I get violent with that stuff. You know, it says that the violent take it by force. The violent is what the church is supposed to be. Vitally active, energetic, and forceful. That's the meaning of that. That should be a description of the church. Vitally active, energetic, and forceful. Not, oh, I'm so tired. You know, everybody's just hanging on by a thread. No, we're supposed to be vitally active, energetic, and forceful. And that word forceful means going after it and not stopping until you obtain it. That's what we need to do when we get an infirmity. Not run to the phone and call the doctor. I mean, I'll let that be your decision, but we need to repent. We need to change our thinking about our tradition, because the tradition is making the Word of God have no effect for you. And I agree with God. I want you healed. I want God's people healed, walking in health, vitally active, energetic, taking care of God's, whatever God tells you to do. Now, there was a time I thought I was doing God's work. He took me out of everything. He said, it pleases me that you want to work for me, but you have to get it right in your home first. See, we want to run to the church, and at home we're, well, I won't even say. But God showed me that. I thought, all three of the kids are in school full time? I've got more time to work for you, Lord, than ever, and you're making me get out of everything? Well, while I'm here, I just want you to teach me how to love my husband and children. And I said, what? See, God spoke through my mouth. I had no thought to say that. Then I started trying to defend myself. Love my husband and children? Sure, I love my husband and children. I mean, I cook and I clean. I do his laundry. I take kids, you know, I do it. And he said, that's just mechanics. Anybody can do that. I'm like, oh, wow. Well, what is love anyway? Oh, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Oh, if I could speak with tongues of angels and men, and I had all knowledge and all this, and I gave myself to be burned, and I gave everything I own to the poor, but if you have not love, you are nothing. Ooh. That chainsaw ricocheted pretty good right there. It just chopped me off at the knees. So, you know, God can speak to you. He can tell you what He wants you to do. Stop and ask. Don't just do the traditional thing. Go to Him. Talk to Him. Ask Him. He can tell you what He wants you to do. He already kind of has, you know. But sometimes we need, like when I was sick. You want to do? You can help me. Well, I'd already read it, you know. I want to. But that was to the leper. But He healed me. He healed me of a 4-year depression. Instantly. Instantly. And I've not been the same since. I became vitally active, energetic, and forceful. See, the physical things had been conquered, but here, I was sick. Went to the psychiatrist. He didn't have the cure. He helped me with some stuff. Took all my money. But it took all Mike's money. He reminds me of that every now and then. I said, aren't you glad I went, though? We're still together, 38 years. Okay, so one of the things I was supposed to read in the very beginning was that one time Jesus was in a place teaching, and it says His power was to heal them. It was Pharisees and, you know, all the wise guys. He wanted to heal them. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. But His power was to heal them. And I meant to tell y'all, if you hear anything, grab it. The power. He's here. His power is here to heal. Receive it. Something quickens you, grab it. It's yours. It's still yours, even though I forgot to say that. Okay, so now we're going to do some casting out. The first thing I want to do is I want to deal with the spirit of death, which is the ruler spirit of all sickness. You know, I forgot to read a couple of the scriptures, but in Acts 10:38, you need to understand this too. It says how Jesus of Nazareth, who was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good. You know, good tidings of good. He went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. Now, if he healed them, they needed healing. They were sick or afflicted, and he healed them, and they were oppressed of the devil. So you see, sickness is an oppression from the devil. It says that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was manifested to destroy the works of the enemy. Sickness is a work of the enemy.
Yes.
See, it says when we get to heaven, no more sickness. We can have no more sickness right now because he's done it. He provided it. So we're going to apply that tonight. So, but I want to do the spirit of death first.
Carla.
Yes? Okay. Anybody who's ever wished they were dead or attempted suicide, whatever, you know, ask God to forgive you. Thank Him for keeping your life. And we'll break that curse too. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank You that You've given us permission to use Your name to cast out demons. And I just bind the spirit of death in every person right now in Jesus' name. And I break the power of death off of you in Jesus' name. I command it to go. Death, go. The spirit of death, go. Death curses, self-inflicted death wishes. Go in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of infirmity. The spirit of infirmity that's under the spirit of death, then it goes to infirmity, and then we're going to go to the names of the infirmities. So I bind the spirit of infirmity and command it to go. Get out. Spirits of infirmity, you leave God's people. We have a covenant with Him. The shed blood of Jesus Christ destroys all sickness and disease. Now I speak to every sickness, every infirmity in God's people, and I command it to go in Jesus' name. I speak to all generationally inherited infirmities. Think about the things that came down through your mother's bloodline or your daddy's bloodline that's on you. And then you see it in your children too. That's the way a curse travels. I break it now. The generationally inherited curses that came down of infirmity that came down through your mother's bloodline. I break it now. I command all those generationally inherited infirmities to go now in Jesus' name. Be broken by the shed blood of Jesus. I come against all the generationally inherited infirmities that came down through your father's bloodline. I command it to go. I break its power and command those infirmities from your father to go in Jesus' name. All blood diseases. I speak to all blood diseases. I command you to get out in the name of Jesus. All blood diseases. And if you have one, you know it. You know, you've been to the doctor, they told you, so take this. I break the power of all blood diseases in the name of Jesus. Go. Be broken. Come out in Jesus' name. All bone diseases, go in the name of Jesus. I break your power. All feet problems, go. Whatever you have, bunions, corns. You know, we have corns that run in my family, and I got a corn, I hated it. That thing hurt. And I finally started just applying the blood of Jesus to that corn. I break that generationally inherited curse of corns, bunions, hammer toe, whatever. I don't even know what all is on athlete's foot. Whatever is with your feet, I apply the blood of Jesus. He shed His blood and it destroyed all your sicknesses and diseases. Now I command you to go. All feet diseases, go. Vascular problems, aneurysms, everything in your vascular system, your blood system, your arteries, your veins, blocked arteries. I come against that in Jesus' name and I command it to go in the name of Jesus. Blood pressure problems, diseases of the blood, AIDS, if anybody has AIDS, any infectious contagious disease or ill-smelling infectious contagious disease and virus, go in Jesus' name. I speak death to those viruses. And I apply the blood of Jesus and I command it to go in Jesus' name. Organs, I speak to all of your organs. If you have organ problems, the blood of Jesus has taken that and annihilated the sickness and disease. I speak to all heart problems. Go in the name of Jesus. Lung problems, be healed in the name of Jesus. Stomach problems, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Skin problems, psoriasis, acne, melanomas, go in the name of Jesus. All gallbladder problems, I command you to go. I speak healing to your gallbladder in Jesus' name. I speak healing to your kidneys in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command all kidney disease to go in the name of Jesus. All liver problems, go in the name of Jesus. Bladder problems, incontinence, constipation, diarrhea, whatever your problem is, the blood of Jesus has destroyed it, and I command it to go now in Jesus' name. Diseases in the reproductive organs, male problems, female problems. If you have it, the blood of Jesus, he took it on the cross so you wouldn't have to have it, and I command it to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I speak peace to your bodies in the name of Jesus. All uterus problems, ovary problems, tumors, malignant tumors, fibroid tumors, cysts, go in Jesus' name. Bumps and lumps, anything on your body that's not supposed to be there, I just command it to go now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Disorders and syndromes. Whatever you have that has a disorder on the back of it, they don't know what to do about it. And syndromes as well. But Jesus Christ took it. He shed his blood, and I apply the blood of Jesus to all syndromes and disorders now. And I command you to go. Leave God's people now in Jesus' name. I speak to all hernias, hiatal hernias, belly button hernias, abdominal hernias, whatever kind of hernias. I don't even know that much about hernias. But I command the hernia to go back in its place right now, and I command the muscles to heal together and close it off in Jesus' name. All eye problems, nearsightedness, farsightedness, blindness, cornea problems, cataracts, macular degeneration, dry eyes, watery eyes, all infirmities of the eyes, I bind you and break your power, and I command you to go now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, eyes be healed in the name of Jesus. Cancer, all cancers, go. I speak death to cancer in Jesus' name, to the root right now. There may be cancer in our bodies we don't even know about, but God does, and the blood of Jesus has healed cancer. Now, I just apply the blood of Jesus to every cancer in this room, and I command it to go in the name of Jesus. Pain, I speak to all pain. I'm thankful for all the deliverance that y'all have gotten before this, because see, it's going to be easier to receive this. There's room for it now that other stuff's been moved out of the way. So I speak to all the pain. And listen, pain from accidents and injuries. How many of you have pain from an accident or an injury? Raise your hand. I speak a reversal right now of damage that was done by that accident or the injury in Jesus' name. I command everything to be healed. I apply the blood of Jesus to it to be made whole in the name of Jesus. On that little wheel, it said, mended, made whole, not missing anything. Whole, that means better than it was before in Jesus' name. And now, I think I should have done this first, but we need to repent for going to the world instead of to God. That means change your thinking. You begin to change your thinking, and you go to God first. You know, if God tells you to go to a doctor, go to a doctor, but go to God first. So I just bind and break idolatry that we've all committed, idolatry. I break that idolatry now. Lord, forgive us for being in idolatry. Forgive us for going to someone else besides you. For all of our needs, for monetary needs. You know what? I got to stop and tell y'all this testimony. Mike and I, there's an air show in Jasper. Now, you know, I did a teaching here called Tools for These Times, and the angels are one of the things that God has given us. My brother's truck got broken into, and I said, "What would you think about that? I mean, spiritually speaking." And he said, I was like, I mean, it was a brand new truck. They sold all their luggage. And he goes, "God, I'm your son. Why weren't you watching after my stuff?" And I said, "I knew that's exactly where you were going to go with that." See, we all went, "God, hey, he has given you." He said to me, "Did I tell you that if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed that you would ask me to move your mountain?" I said, "I think he said I would say to the mountain." Well, get busy and say to the mountain. Just like he said to Moses, "Why are you calling out to me? But raise up thy rod." He has given us power and authority. And so this guy lost his wallet on the airfield. And I didn't know what to do. We've never had a situation like that. And so I was saying, "Well, I don't know if I should go to the police or if I should go to the announcer." And then I thought, "What am I doing?" I grabbed that guy. I think I scared him. I grabbed his forearm and I said, "No, this is what we're going to do." I said, "Father, your eyes are on that wallet right now. And I'm asking you to send the angels out and bring it to my attention so he can have his wallet before he goes home." And that guy's like, "What did she just do?" Anyway, I said, "Enjoy yourself." So I went down to where Mike was standing, and I'm talking to Mike, and over his shoulder, way over there, I see something black flapping. And it was his wallet. Well, a policeman, after the plane took off, he drove out there, brought the wallet to me. He said, "Hey, this credit card was laying out on, I don't know, it was real windy that day. I hope nothing blew away." I said, well, I'll take him what we have." So I went down there. It hadn't been 10 minutes, not 10 minutes. I tapped him on the shoulder, and he turned around and said, "Here's your wallet." And he just started laughing hysterically like I had performed some kind of magic trick. And I said, "Those angels, they're fast." Walked off. Okay, now listen. So on the way to the air show, I was getting kind of short on cash. And I said, "Lord, I'm needing some money. I'm needing some money. I'm getting short." So went on to the air show. When we took the people back to their plane, he's standing right here. We're in like on a mule, you know, those. It's real, you know, real shaky and everything. Anyway, he got out and he was standing right here, and the woman was over here talking to Mike. And so when she got done, he was kind of in my space, he was real close. And so I said, "Well, I hope you enjoyed yourself." And he stuck his hand out, and so I stuck my hand out, and he put a wad of money in my hand. And I said, "No." I said, "You're not going to pay me for that." I didn't even do it, remember? And the lady said, he was foreign, you know, so I didn't understand his language too much, but she said, "No, he really wants you to have it. Just please take it. He wants you to have it." I said, "Okay." So I received it, you know, gracious receiver. I received it, thanked him. We drive off, and, you know, God told me a long time ago about money. It's just green paper with numbers on it. You know, it wasn't like, "Oh," you know, really and truly. Money has become that for me. Although, if you run out of green paper with numbers on it, I go to God. I don't go to the bank. I go to God. It's like, "I need some money, Lord." And so he gave me that money. So we're driving off. Mike says, "Well, how much did he give you?" So it was in a roll, you know. So I open my hand and start flipping 20, 40, 60, 80. Mike just made a U-turn. He didn't realize how much he gave you. And I said, "Okay." So we go back, and he got out of the plane, and I tried to give it back to him, and he wouldn't take it. I just kept saying, "This is too much. Really, now, really." And he just grabbed both his hands around my hand, and he said, "You." He said, if you don't want it, as well as he could say it, give it to your church. So I received it. And bought gas for my car. And took Mike out to eat. But listen, really, that's how we should live. When they needed money, Jesus said, "Send the fish's mouth. Go get it." That's. Listen, he owns it all. Why do we angst? You need something? Tell him. Tell him. He told me one time, nothing's too small. Nothing. Like her battery. My story was, I was coming up here. It was winter time, and I wanted to buy some of these things you put in your shoes so your feet don't hurt. See, I just decided to start wearing flats. And so I was going to buy these Dr. Showbillies, and I went over there to get some. I thought, man, those things are high. It's almost $8. Oh, I'm not going to get those. Lord, I don't need to be spending that money on that. So just bless my feet, Lord, you know. So I'm walking out to my car and laying on the parking lot with a package of those things I wanted to buy for my shoes. Right there. I ran over here and picked it up like I had dropped them. I mean, I look around, there's nobody around. There was nobody around. So, hey, I went and got them. Thank you, Lord. Really. I mean, it's exciting to live with Jesus. It's exciting to live with Jesus. And I also come against oppression, depression, hopelessness, despair. I command you to get out of God's people in the name of Jesus. And I say, live in Jesus' name. Be made whole. And you know what? This is going to continue. Not the teaching. But when y'all leave and go to bed, I mean, he can continue to heal you as you sleep, tomorrow, whenever. So receive it and be quick to thank him. In fact, I always say, I thank you for it now, Lord. I thank you for it now. And we just bless you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you, Lord. You're so good to us. You love us so much. And it grieves you. We grieve the Holy Spirit to walk around sick and in pain and all of that. We should be the healthiest people alive. So just be healed in Jesus' name. You're dismissed. Yes, receive it.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.